Thanks, guys. All the guys are gone already. Like, not hanging around for him to pray. I'm getting down. Malcolm was getting out of there. Thank you for that. All right, that's enough silliness. It's going on. Explosion. I don't know what's happened to it. You've changed, explosion. Nah, it's good. It's good fun. All right. Welcome to church. Who's excited to be at church? Who's glad that church is fun and exciting? Who's ready to read the Bible and hear from God? Yeah? Awesome. That's good. That's very encouraging. All right. So the last few weeks, we have been doing a series called Love Is. And we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 13, basically, and just going through it, kind of talking about what love is, what it means, how the Bible describes love, and how we can have lives that act in love, yeah? And the last few weeks, we've kind of been going through that passage in some detail. If you've been concentrating, there was a whiteboard on stage, you might remember. You might remember such things as love is patient, love is kind, love is stuff. The guys, the creche guys, came up to me after church and they had this bowl of slime. And like, you could use it as an illustration and make your message, love is messy. And I was like, well, maybe, but that would totally change the point of my message, so I'm not going to do that. But anyway, it was interesting. So people obviously are listening, even if they're not reading their Bible. that's okay. But tonight, I want to do something a little bit different just to finish it up. So hopefully that's cool with you. If it's not, too bad. I'm going to do it anyway. Because I think that love is something that's bigger than a few weeks of a series at church. And it's bigger than like one passage in a Bible verse. It's something that isn't limited to some... Like, it's not a thing that I can stand up on a stage and describe in a few weeks worth of message. Like, if that's where you leave your understanding of love and you think, well, that's it, I've got that one now, next topic, then you're not gonna have a life of love. You're not gonna have a life of blessing and a life of good relationship with God and with people, because your understanding is going to be sorely limited by like a few 25 minute messages. So I guess I really encourage you to take this series of on love, I guess, as a starting point, not as an ending point, and as something just to get stuff working in your head and in your heart, where you start to think about what love might mean. And I encourage you to go away and grab that passage, grab other passages. The Bible says more about love than most things. So take it, read it, figure it out. Like, start to understand in your own heart what it means that God loves you, what it means that you're called to love other people, how that looks, how that is supposed to act. Because I believe that love and a lifestyle of love is like a lifetime thing. And that I'm not going to get to next week or next month and understand what love means. I'm not going to get to the end of my life and understand really what love means. I don't believe that I'll really understand that until I'm up in heaven face to face with God and I realize what it means. So I guess let's just take this series as a bit of a starting point, yeah? And just be like people who accept that a relationship with God is a relationship and it's a journey. And that love and learning to love the way God has called us to, learning to live the way that God has called us to, is a process, it's a journey, and it's something that we will spend our lives. And for me, is the only thing worth spending my life doing. Building a relationship with God, trying to fulfill His purpose for my life, yeah? And so I guess I just wanted to encourage you on that and to challenge you on that as well, not to walk away thinking, well, that's good, that's done, all right, I'll just hang out until the next time somebody talks about love in church. And until then, I'm just going to be a jerk to everybody. Don't be like that. Go and read your Bible for yourself, amen? Get yourself an oversized journal. I'd like to see somebody come on stage with something bigger as a journal. Like, if you have to bring a separate bag for your journal, or if your journal wouldn't get through, like, carry-on baggage at an airport, bring it in and you get to do the offering. No, I'm joking. I want to see it. I want to see, like, this artist portfolio-sized journal that's like, you know, you can get these bits of paper. These are just paper. You can get them from Officeworks. Maybe, you know, make a book out of that. Sorry, Jess. ripping on your journal. I think it's a good thing. It's got to be a more spiritual journal than mine because I just write mine on my phone. It's really little. Anyway, on that note, love. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13. Maybe turn your Bible to it with me if you've got your Bible here or your smartphone or whatever you're using to read the Word of God. Turn it over. It says this. It says, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. It's just the start of verse 8. So tonight, like, I was reading that because it was kind of the next bit in the sentence, and you kind of had this choice this week whether just to go, well, should I talk about, like, hopes, trust, perseveres, you know, all that. Or the thing that really stood out to me was this word always. And it was really interesting. What does it mean? What does always mean? And I looked it up, and the dictionary says it means without exception. It means unconditionally. It means all the time. It means without fail. It means never failing. Always. Not sometimes, not most of the time, but always. So I was interested that that is the word that is used in conjunction with love. And that the way to describe love is to say, well, love always this. Love always that. Love doesn't change. Love doesn't depend on the situation or the circumstance or the emotion or the feeling. Love always, yeah? And it's interesting that this word always is so strongly connected to this word love in 1 Corinthians 13. Amen? So this verse says that true love is an always thing. And I think sometimes the world will tell us that love is an emotional thing, or a feeling thing, or a mood thing, or a thing that you might get for a little while if you're lucky, and then it'll just fall apart, and then you've had love. But it's not always, it's just sometimes if you're lucky. But that's not the Word of God. The Word of God says love is an always thing. Amen. So how do we live an always love? I know that probably strictly doesn't make sense grammatically, but stay with me. How can we be all... Oh, I just hit my teeth with the microphone. Sorry, Dad. You know that we don't use this microphone on Friday nights? I think so that we don't break it. I think Josh banned us from using it. He did. He's nodding his head at the back. I'll try and move it a bit back, and you guys can just, you know, turn it up a bit or something. There we go. Is that better? Does my voice sound tinny now? It does. That's weird. But I might not break a tooth on the microphone. So, where was I? How can we be always people? Like, always people. I think a lot of the time, it feels like the only thing I always do, or the only thing we always do, is fail. The only thing that I can rely on doing always is not doing it always. Like, and so that's what we think is our expectation of something always. But this isn't God's plan for my life. This isn't God's plan for our lives, yeah? God hasn't created us for a sometimes love. God hasn't created us for a fleeting emotion, high point love. He's created us for an always love. Zoe agrees with me. Babies are on my side today, I've decided. I'm just going to claim it. Or they're smacking their heads and stuff, I don't know. But she's agreeing with me, I can tell. Or she needs to go to the bathroom. How, then, do we always? How? She's loving it. Come and preach, Zoe, with me. Just ignore the baby. Now that I've drawn attention to it, we'll get on with it. How can we be always people? Yeah. Always loving the way God has always called us to always love. People that no matter what, without exception, without fail, unconditionally, all the time, always love. Yeah. How can you do that, yeah? I just have a few thoughts on that that I'm going to share tonight, if that's okay with you. So number one, always love in God's strength. We see the results in our world of people trying to always love in their own strength. We see divorce, we see abuse, we see just destruction in families and breakdown. We see suicide, we see mess in people's lives when they try and always love in their own strength. Because you can't do it. That's not always love. So we, as people who follow Christ, can't be people who say, I'm going to try the same thing and expect a different result. Isn't that the definition of insanity? Like, we can't be people that say, I want to always love because the Bible tells me that I should always love. So I'm going to go out and try my best. Because my best is never good enough to always love, yeah? We can't be people that acknowledge God, that say that we love God, that worship Him, and then try to live without His power. Like, what's the point of that? You might as well just hang out by yourself. Like, you are not expected to do this alone. That is not God's expectation on love when He puts it there for you. That is not His view of how that was supposed to work. God wants relationship with you, and He wants you to live out of His power in your life, His strength, His spirit in you. So we can be people that always love in the strength and grace of God. Amen? In Acts 1, if you will turn with me there, Jesus is about to go up to heaven and He's speaking to His disciples. And He says to them this in verse 4, my tooth still hurts, just so you know. Just an update. Just like a tweet as the message is going. Anyway, Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to His disciples, He says, don't try and do this on your own. Don't try and live this life that I've called you to live. Don't try and preach this message that I've called you to preach. Don't try and live a life of always love in your own strength. Wait until my Spirit comes on you, because then you'll be able to go and do it. Then you'll be able to go and do the thing that you've been called to do. Then you'll be able to have the power in your life to actually fulfill the call that I have given you. And so often we read the call, we hear the call, and we act without the power. And it never works. But God says, you're not supposed to do this on your own. Let the Holy Spirit empower your life so that you can live the way you're called to live. Amen? I was been watching the Commonwealth Games. Has anybody else even bothered with watching the Commonwealth Games? It's just like this big glory thing for Australia. We're just like, I think we must like privately fund the Commonwealth Games just so we can come back with a swag of gold and be like, we are the best of all the countries except for the countries that are better than us. Anyway, I was watching the track cycling the other day in the velodrome, and I think we won pretty much every medal you could win. 12 from 14 gold. There you go. That's because, yeah, one person got disqualified. But I was watching the team pursuit. Has everybody seen the team pursuit? That's the one where they're like, there's three of them on one team and three on the other team, and they race around and they're like really close behind each other, yeah? And they do that because they want to get in the slipstream of the person in front of them. And I was thinking about that in this context and thinking like, here is a cyclist that understands he can't win the race in his own strength. He needs to rely on that person in front of him. And you'd see it if the person in front went quick and they didn't get up to his back wheel quick enough, they would lose the race because they weren't acting, they weren't riding in the strength of the person in front of them. And sometimes we go at life, which is a team pursuit, and we try and do it as like a solo time trial. And so we never get as quick because we're not acting in the power that we're called to act in. We're not engaging with that person in front. We've got God on a track bike in front of us, getting into his slipstream, amen? We can't expect to always love in our own strength, yeah? We need God's power and his strength. And the great thing is that it's available to us. It's there for us. His spirit is real and wants to work in our lives, yeah? So we can do that. So number one, always love in God's strength. Number two, always have the right attitude. That's a challenging one, I think. But you can't always love if you let negativity into your heart and into your life. You can't always love if you let things hold on to your heart or onto your thinking. If you let stuff in your life or in your past like affect the way you look at the world, you're not going to be able to always love. Because you'll love like when sometimes you're feeling okay, but you won't always. But this passage in 13:7 says, always trust, always hopes. Like it's saying, like these ones here I think are about attitude. They're saying like, hope, trust all the time. Will you be someone whose attitude is to always love? Or someone's who's like someone who is looking for the best always? Somebody who is always hoping? I'm not talking about being stupid. I'm talking about your attitude and the way you control your thinking, amen? Someone who's like that who will always love, or someone whose attitude is always critical, is always looking for the mistake, is always waiting for that person to fall over, is always kind of looking for the next thing to have a go at. Like, we know that we can do that. We have the capability to live lives with that sort of attitude, but we also have the capability to live lives with an always love attitude. Amen? Sometimes I think, like, we think that it's kind of weird when somebody is always positive, yeah? That it's like this thing that is unattainable or is strange to be positive all the time, and that people who are like that are crazy. I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were talking to this guy who's started a cult, so maybe he is a little bit crazy. But the cult was called the New Aesthetics, which I thought was like a band, but they were talking to him, and they were just constantly like on the radio trying to get him to be negative. But he was like, his whole thing was like, you need to be ecstatic about your life all the time, which is a bit extreme. Like, I don't think it's about that external kind of look at me, I'm happy sort of thing. But they were critical of this guy because he was trying to have this always positive attitude. Now he took it to a bit of an extreme. He was a bit weird. He started a cult. I'm not encouraging that. But I think sometimes we say, well, people who are always positive are weird. And we use that as an excuse to be critical. And we say, I don't want to be one of those weird, happy all the time people. I don't think that's real. I think that's like fake people. And so because of that, like extreme, we go to another extreme and we're always critical and we're always negative instead of always loving, yeah? We want to be real, so we're grumpy. That doesn't make sense. It's just like going from one end to the other end, yeah? But if we want to always love, then we need to choose the attitude that we bring. And you can choose the attitude that you bring. Choose what you think. Choose how much you let your love be affected by circumstance or feeling. We get caught in this idea that love is just about a gooey emotion inside of us. And like that's what a movie will tell you, but when you let your love be determined by that, it won't last. It won't be an always love. It'll be affected by what you ate for dinner or, I don't know, anything. Like, how many drinks you've had will mean, oh, wow, I always love right now. Wake up in the morning and you're not so loving. But we have this choice, yeah? Do we always trust? Do we always hope? Do we always love? Or do we always let our mood decide for us? Yeah. So number two, if we want to be people that always love, we need to be people that always have the right attitude. Now, I know that that sounds like this extreme thing, but always is an absolute word. And so I'm not going to say, well, if you want to always love, you need to sometimes try and, if you can, be positive. Because then you're just sometimes, if you can, love. But this is always love. So the last one, though, the last point, I think this is where it'll help you out, is always get back up. Guaranteed, if you're trying to do the first two things, if you're trying to always love in God's strength and you're trying to always have the right attitude, you're going to fall over on that one. You are going to fail. Amen? That's encouraging word number one for tonight. You will fail. But when you fail, you get two choices. You can give up or you can get up. Don't be smart with me, Adrian. I was saying the other day that if somebody said, wow, like that sarcastically, I'd get down and slap them in the face. So, Liz, do you want to give Adrian a slap for me? Oh, off the back of the head. Lovely. I don't mind if you're going to say something positive and encouraging to me because you actually have got something from what I've said. But if you're going to be smart, I don't want to hear it. I do. Adrian, I know he did it because I had said that exact... That's what we had had that conversation. It was just a catchy little phrase. It just rhymed a little bit. So give up or get up. We have that choice all the time where something goes wrong and we don't do the always love that we thought we were trying to do. We don't fulfill the thing that we were trying to work on in our lives. We make a mistake and we go, well, that's it then. I've done it. I'm done now. Instead of saying, well, how about I always get back up? That's something I can do. That's something I know I can do, yeah? I think always perseveres is in this passage because God knows that there's going to be failure, that we are going to fall over, and that to always love is going to take perseverance and strength. That to always love is to know that you're going to fall over, but to also know that you will get back up again. Is to know that when you fall, you will just get back up. Always. Every time, without exception, without fail, unconditionally, you will get back up. That's always. Psalm 145. In verse 14, it says this, and this is a promise. It says, well, start from 13. It says, the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. I read this verse just a few weeks ago, and it really encouraged me because we can count on God to know that every time you fall, he will pick you up. Every time you fall, he is faithful to his promise. Every time you fall, he is right there for you. He is there to lift you up. He is there to uphold you. He is there for you, not against you, but for you. That we have this God that even though the one thing that I always do is fail, God never fails. And so God always loves, and he doesn't have to get back up because he never falls down. And so that means that when I do fall down, God is always there to pick me back up. God has never fallen over with you, so you're both in the mud together. God's always there with a hand to pick you back up, yeah? And he can be relied on. So when you fall down, you're given this chance and this choice to stay on the ground or to get back up again and choose to love, yeah? You're given this choice to bow out or to get back in. I remember, like, I used to play cricket for club and for school and stuff, and it's really easy to get out in cricket, especially if you're not concentrating or whatever. And it's easy to get hurt in cricket. I remember this one time we were playing Helensburgh, and I got hit with a couple of cricket balls, and it really hurt. Yeah. I had bruises like this on my legs. Someone, you don't mind if I break the microphone over somebody's jaw, do you, Josh? You can record the sound. We'll use it for something. But like, there was always this challenge when like you something happens, you always have this choice of what you're going to do the next week. And whether you're going to go out the next week and be worried about the fast bowler because last week he got hurt, which I did for probably a year. Or you're going to go out there saying, well, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to keep playing the game. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to always persevere. And I think that God invented cricket because there are a lot of things about it that are very similar to the way God works. Cricket has its own timing. You can't rush it. Sometimes it seems like nothing's happening. But really, God is moving. No, I'm joking. I'm just being silly on that one. But you have this choice every week, and maybe that's just a great thing about sport in general and not just specifically cricket, but every week you know that you can get back up again and you can try again, and you can choose to lie down in the mud or to go off the field and sit on the sideline and just wallow in your failure, or you can go and practice and you can get back out there and you can try it again. And that is the exact same thing with us and the exact same thing with love and with how we are called to live. We don't have to live lives that are bound by the failures that we've had. We don't have to have a love that is colored by the things we've done wrong, the times we've fallen down. We can have an always love because of the grace and the strength of God. Because every time I fall over, I know I can get back up again, always. Amen. So let's be people who love always. The start of verse 8 says, love never fails. You might have seen it at the end of our intro video. It says, love never dies. And I'm really struck by that every time because it's such an absolute. Just like there's always, there's a never. And the never is love never dies. Love never fails, no matter what. And that's something that we can rely on, yeah. I believe it's an instruction, like it's a description of what love is and a command to us to be people whose love never fails. But it's also a promise, amen? And it's a promise from God saying, my love will never fail. I was looking up some thoughts on this passage and just reading what other people had written. And this one guy was like, said, I like to read that passage and replace the word love with Jesus. And I thought that was really interesting because Jesus, like, is God and God is love. So we can look at this passage and I can say, Jesus never fails. He will always be patient. He will always be kind. He will never seek himself, yeah? He will not be easily angered. He doesn't keep a record of wrong. He will always protect me, always trust, always hope, always persevere. He will never fail, amen? And if you want to understand what love is, then we can look at the life of Jesus and we can say, that's always love. That's love always, like love that just never stops loving all the way to the cross, amen? So let's not leave tonight and just forget about love now that a series is finished. Let's not just walk away and go, well, that was nice. There was a little catchy rhymey thing in there that I might remember for a little while. Like, let's not do that, yeah? And then have our lives unaffected. Because the last thing I want is to have like a church service that we leave and nothing ever happens in our real life. Because like, that's great and all, and church is fantastic, but if this is not affecting your day tomorrow, then what is it? And you can't, like, an always love isn't an always on Sundays love. It's not an always when I'm at church. Like, when I am around church people, I am always patient. I am always kind. That is not what the Bible is saying. It just says love always, yeah? So let's be people that do that, that understand that in the strength of God, we can love always. Yeah. That we can be people that decide the attitude that we will take towards others, towards God, towards the situations in our life. That rather than being thrown around by the things that happen to us, we can be people that will always trust, people that will always hope, people that will always persevere. That every time we fall down, we will get back up again. And you know that as you do that in your life, and I believe as the people in your life see you do that, they start to see a bit of Jesus in you. They start to see what it means to actually be a Christian, what it means to be somebody that's life is impacted by God and changed by it and living for Him, because they see someone that isn't just going after the latest thing or that doesn't just wallow in their failure, but somebody that does things that they think they can't do. Because the reality is we can't do it. We need God, yeah? And so let's be people that always love. Amen? Yeah. And I just encourage you, I guess, tonight just to be starting your own process in that. And the next couple of weeks are going to be really exciting. Josh is speaking next Sunday night. And then in 2 weeks, we have Grant Lowe from Lighthouse Church coming to speak, which is going to be really cool. So come to that. But I encourage you not to just leave a love thing on your seat when you leave tonight, but to make it something that will actually change your life. And something that I know I'm going to spend a lifetime trying to work out, and I encourage you to do that with me. Amen. So I'm just going to pray. God, we just thank you so much for your love for us. That undeservedly, you love us with everything that you are, God. And that you are the definition of love. And God, that without you, we can't do anything. God, that we can only love because you loved us. We can only do the things you've called us to do because of your grace and your power. And God, I pray that you would just be with all of us as we live our lives so that we can be always loved people. That we can be people that never give up on love, never give up on what you have for our lives, God. That we can be people that get back up in your strength and your power, because we know that you are always faithful and always good and always there for us, God. Lord, I just pray for every person here tonight, God, that you would just speak to our hearts and to our lives, that we would leave not just having kind of consumed a message, God, but that you would be speaking into our hearts. Maybe it's something from your word that you've just put there, God. I pray that you would just cement that in, that you would just sink that into our hearts tonight, God, and that you'd really just speak to us right now. God, I thank you for your plan, your purpose for every person. You've called us to live a life of love, and then you've given us your spirit so that we're able to do that. Just while we're in this attitude of prayer, if you want to know God and you don't, you want a relationship with God, but you've never had that before, or maybe you have, you know that you're not in close relationship with God at the moment. If you want to have that unconditional love and grace from God, and you want to know the plan that He's got for your life, and you want a life that's bigger than just yourself, but is for God's glory, then I want to pray with you tonight. If you want to know God and you want to know relationship with Him. So if that's you, maybe just raise your hand with me just so I can see it. Awesome. And we'll just pray together. Thank you, God. God, I thank you for the people who responded tonight, and that you love them, that you have a plan for their life, that Jesus died on the cross for them, God, for everything that's happened in their life, everything that's happened in our lives, God, that you died for us, that Jesus was on that cross for us because you love us unconditionally all the time. And God, we want to accept that tonight. We want to thank you and ask your forgiveness, God. And God, we pray that you would just come into our hearts and we would live lives that honor you, live lives that seek you, and lives that follow you, God. Amen. How about we all stand up and we'll pray this prayer together as we finish. And if you raise your hand, then pray this out. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want that connection with God, then pray this prayer out in your heart. Amen. So let's just pray together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you.